speak loud so that that can pick us up. And if there's a problem or questions, or you feel like it's not coming across properly, please do them. Or if it's not, we learn words. Okay.
Do you want to come?
Dave, can you be able to send us
it won't. Well, yeah, you never know. We didn't use the camera.
Okay, we are going to go for these.
I'm just saying, but it's not this person.
Several of us got that email. I have seen it. That she invited us was not working. Is telling observed parts that are all of the election process.
Testing, testing.
Thanks so much.
Anyway.
Dustin, I don't know if you received that email. If not, I'll just forward it to you.
If you would forward it to me, I'll make sure that we notice it. If you
so all elected officials were invited?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I believe it's open to the public, anyone who would like to see how the counting of ballots and is done and how they're handled through the whole system to show that the process is secure.
I think it says
due to security protocols, the area is a badge access only, so there is some logistics and security. I don't know if we can extend the invitation beyond ourselves. We'd have to actually ask. That's not up to us to say anybody can go to it. I'm assuming anybody can, but I don't want to be responsible for inviting, putting it out there that anybody can go if that's not the case, because I just don't know. Like I said, I've never seen that invitation come before, so I just sent it to you, and we can reach out to the county, reach out to Ms. Chapman, and just find out and get more clarification. There's still a little while before that happens, but I'm glad you brought that up.
Actually, I feel like as a member of the Board of Canvassers, it probably makes sense to do some due diligence, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Anyone have anything else, just logistic-wise or coordinate? Okay, let's move on. Item D, we'll just run through our city council meeting. This is the kind of council meeting that I love. Right, we have a lot of good work we get to get done, and we have a couple of cool community things that will mean a lot to people that we get to be part of, and sometimes it's just fun to have people come together and recognize the good work that they do, and I appreciate that we have that opportunity. So we are doing a proclamation honoring Mason Suazo. As you'll recall, he's the South Jordan young man who plays baseball that was named the April Playball Player of the Month for the whole country.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
And proud of that young man and how well he represents us and our Little League program, and Mason's fantastic, and excited to be able to bring him in and recognize him tonight. We also are doing a proclamation celebrating 100 years of Utah PTA. It's the Utah PTA Centennial, and we've got some PTA leaders. We have a lot of state and regional PTA leaders that come out of South Jordan, as you are aware, to a degree. A centennial celebration, 100 years of Utah PTA and the good work that they've done for the students and teachers and parents across the state of Utah. So we will have people here for that, that they're inviting, and they'll take a quick minute to speak a little bit, and then we'll do that.
I'm curious, was this something that they asked us to recognize? Is this you initiating the recognition? Are there cities doing this?
They reached out and wondered where to even start with that, so I gave them some advice. The governor's doing one. Hello, welcome. The governor's doing a proclamation now for them, and I don't know what other cities. I gave them some ideas for how they could reach out, and I'm not sure what other cities. But
just curious, thank you.
I also recommended that they make it as easy as possible, right? A draft proclamation, so that that doesn't take staff time, and then we can make edits if we want to. But, you know, reach out and maybe share a little bit about the benefit that's been to the community and the million plus students or however many it's been, you know. And so then the ball was in their court, and they did. And so,
okay,
yeah.
So they did write it up.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So that will be fun. And then we have a couple of public hearing items. We are going to have a public hearing before we consider taking action on adopting the City of South Jordan Water Conservation Plan for 2025. We'll have a presentation and then a public hearing on amending Chapter 7 of the South Jordan Plan to comply with new requirements of state law. As you know, there's a lot. Every year there's quite a few. And so our planning department and Joe Moss and some of his colleagues in the planning department under Brian's leadership have been just trying to review all of that and bring it all together and figure out what do we need to do to make changes to our code to make sure that we are compliant with the new state laws that were just approved this year. So they're going to bring us that. It's a lot of work to do that analysis, and they've done a good job. And then we have another one that's also to help us comply with changes to state legislation that just happened this year with some of our zoning, agricultural zones, residential zones, and the Redwood Road mixed use zone and the planned community zone. So planning will bring those. Joe's going to bring those and present those, and we'll hear about those. We'll hold public hearings on those, and then you can consider taking action. And probably wise if we take some kind of action, because it is literally to bring us in compliance with new state laws. So we'll see what that looks like, see what people have to say. That's it for the regular meeting. Anybody have any other questions?
Seems pretty cut and dry.
It's the kind of meeting that's great. Yeah, it's great. So, okay. They're all great, but some of them have some special things on them, and this is one that does. So it's kind of fun.
Not so
yeah.
Emotional.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all fans of making sure that whatever it is we have to do to make adjustments, that we are always compliant with state law. So as that changes, we're going to roll with it, and we're going to adapt. Okay, we have a conversation. We're going to have our city manager, Dustin Lewis, lead our conversation. We had some of our friends that are preschool providers here in our city, and we've got some of them here with us today, come and talk about some home occupation and preschool requirements. And so we gave direction to staff and asked them to take a look at that and see where we're at and if we're in lockstep with state code, or if there's anything that maybe let's evaluate it. Let's take an assessment and do a little analysis and see where we're at. So, Mr. Lewis, we will turn to you for that information.
Well, thank you. One of the great things about having the opportunity to have a work session is we get an opportunity to work. So,
awesome.
we're gonna do a little work tonight.
These are good worksheets.
As the mayor indicated 3 weeks ago, there was a request brought forward that you as a council take some time to discuss our ordinance regarding preschools under the home occupations, and to answer some specific questions. And you asked staff to bring that back to you tonight, which we are prepared to present some information to you and then engage in a discussion to get your pleasure on what direction that we should move forward. So the staff met, and we tried to kind of figure out what are the key issues that we're being asked to look at. So I created this first sheet to give you tonight so that you can kind of see what we think the key elements are that we need to probably focus in on, the areas that we need to discuss what we want to set as the parameters. I've put some initial questions there to kind of get you thinking about those items. items. I'm gonna walk you through a spreadsheet. We looked at a dozen other cities. We looked at all of the cities that physically touch our boundaries, as well as some select cities that we felt were similar in size or operation or demographics to South Jordan, to give you a little bit deeper base to compare from. So, everybody's got one of those. You guys want to have one of those as well. I just realized I left my master upstairs. And I will give you this handy spreadsheet in a minute, but I don't want you to get too far ahead of me. So,
is it the cheat sheets?
It's the cheat sheet. What this is, and I will give you a set of this. I have copied the code out of all of those cities' municipal code. Mm-hmm. We reviewed that. We condensed it down onto this chart, which is related to this chart, and you'll see how that comes together in a minute. But I'll give you that so that you have the ability to actually see what that looks like. So one of the big things that we looked at that I think that you need to probably take a look at in your discussion is, should non-resident employees be allowed to be part of the business? What that means is, currently right now in South Jordan's ordinance, you can't have any outside employees. You live in the home, you're the employee, you can't bring in any others. When we look across what all the other cities are doing, and just to give you an idea, this includes Sandy, Harriman, West Jordan, Riverton, Murray, Layton, Orem, Holiday, Mill Creek, Eagle Mountain, West Valley, Bluffdale, Taylorsville, and Midvale. South Jordan does not allow for a non-resident employee. And then after that, almost every city allows for at least one. Some of them allow for two. Some allow for one, and then some special exemptions, you might be able to have more than that. Taylorsville and Midvale both say no to extra employees. So a majority of other cities allow what they call a non-resident employee to come to the home to assist in that. Now, that's important as you consider that, because if you make this change for preschools, you have other home occupations that may now ask for that same consideration, to have additional employees that don't live in the home now come to the home. Daycares, other types of businesses may also want that. So something to consider. So if you
pause one sec real quick. So our current ordinance says, I live in the home, I can run the business, but somebody in South Jordan or West Jordan or any town, nobody else can come into my business and work out of my home.
You can't have an outside employee.
But you could have.
But now, if your daughter lived at home, and they could help with your business, or if your mother-in-law lived in the home.
So anyone currently running a business in South Jordan that has an employee coming to their home is not within the city code.
Is possibly in violation of the code. And I say possibly because we do have some circumstances where we have some conditional use permits from previous eras under the home oc situation. And those people in the negotiation of that conditional use permit may have gotten that. And I've made copies of a couple of examples under preschools that have conditional use permits where they have different rules. Mm-hmm. And those CUPs run with the land. So that's a value to those. That's also why we have some homes that may have more dogs than the current ordinance, because back in the day that was a CUP, conditional use permit, and they were allowed to have that, and as long as they abide by that CUP, they play by slightly different rules. So I never want to say in absolutes, because I don't know every conditional use permit that's ever been issued over the last three decades.
Okay, thank you.
So that kind of gives you the introduction to a non-resident employee. One of the biggest things is probably parking issues. That seems to be the one that most cities, as they have looked at this, have said, we want to keep the neighborhood feel in our neighborhoods, and parking is one of those things that can become potentially problematic. Currently, our code does not have parking requirements. One, two, three, four. Four or five other cities also don't have that. Some of the cities require that there be off-street parking. Some cities do it on a case-by-case basis. Some cities require that it has to be on the property or on the street that directly abuts the lot, meaning they can be on the public public street, but they can't be on the opposite side of the street in front of a neighbor's home. And then there's some that require to have at least two on site. Some require both on street, off street. Some are specific about how people drop the students off and where they're picked up. So this one's kind of a little all over, but most everybody has some reference to we want to maintain a neighborhood feel. Now, closely related to the parking is the vehicle traffic flow. And this is where, again, it gets a bit wild amongst the cities in what qualifies as a trip. Currently, South Jordan counts one leg as a trip. So if I drive to your house, that's one leg. When I get in my car and leave, that's the second leg. Mm-hmm. Some cities only count that as one trip. You're in, you're out. Now remember, if it's a regular home business and I go to your home to make a purchase, I drive over, I pick it up, and I leave. With a daycare, preschool type operation, usually it's a trip in to drop student off, you leave, you come back later, and you leave. So you probably need to give some thought and discussion to what qualifies as a trip. Yeah. Is it each time that person comes down the street, or is it I have to drop off and pick up, that's going to be one trip? Mm-hmm. I think clarification there would be something to
But right to now, the city looks at that as four trips.
Right now, that would be considered four trips because we count each leg. And you may think, well, what's the big deal in that? If you had your preschool at the end of a cul-de-sac and I lived out on the edge and you have six students, that now means that there's 12 cars that drive past my home, six in, six out, and then later six in, six out. So this gets into now as we start to look at class size, number of students per day, sessions per day, sessions per week, those could add up. So depending on where you want to go with those, the guy that lives out on the end of the street now may see an additional 100 vehicles past the front of his home every day. Mm-hmm. So these are where it starts to get interesting. So South Jordan on the vehicles, we limit it to 12 one way, which basically means six round trips per day. Sandy is at 24. Some of them, it's just restricted to some zones that they're in. A couple other cities have 24. Murray's a case-by-case basis. Eagle Mountain is 12 clients per hour, but a cap of 24 per day. West Valley is two per hour without a CUP, or six up to six per hour with a CUP. Bluffdale's up to 16 trips per day, which is eight vehicles coming and going. So you can see this starts to get somewhat
complex.
Confusing in how a city determines what to count as a trip and things. So I put that in there again near the top because I think it's one of the more critical things. Now this next one with class size is how do you limit the size? And this was one of the things that our resident, and you'll see that I've starred three items on here that Ms. Zollinger asked that you specifically give some clarification to. This is one of them, is how many students should be in a class. Currently, we have a max of eight. Again, some cities are at eight. There are several that are at 12. Some are at eight with a CUP, without a CUP, 12 with a CUP. Some are case-by-case basis. There are several that are six without a CUP, 12 with. There are some cities that don't limit class size. And again, so that varies as well. Closely related to that is students per day. Should there be a limitation on the number of students that can attend in any one day? Because many of the preschools operate Tuesday, Thursday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or you have different groups. And do you allow, you know, multiple sessions morning or night? So students per day, again, we don't regulate that in South